We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the CHGO Bears podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app, use promo code CHGO when you sign up. What's up? How's it going? 100 days to the NFL season.
It feels like we have not been here in 100 days.
It was a long weekend.
Yeah. It was a long, great Memorial Day weekend, and then some things do feel the same.
It was much needed, though. It felt good. It feels good. I'm kind of confused that it's Tuesday right now, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I don't understand what day it is. I don't know. Like, I forget how to do this job. I haven't done this job in 4 days, and I've completely forgotten.
Well, the weirdest part is we started the show early, I think.
That's right too. On time, baby.
Nah, right on time.
It's because we missed being here with you, I think, really what it is.
A lot going on, though. I feel
we have stories from the weekend. We have sad, scary realizations.
Yes, we do.
We have a lot of football talk.
We got free agent targets. We've got demolition day going on. I don't know if Bears fans are paying attention to that, celebrating that. Anybody have a slight tear in their eye that we're just one step closer to the Bears leaving the lakefront and the history? I know that I guess the only person that cares about that.
So I'm gonna pull a curveball on you if we're gonna start with the Arlington Park stuff.
Curveball?
Hey, look at that.
Did you just pull a baseball out of your pocket?
I didn't know you were gonna say that, but the ball was sitting on the table today and it just looked so good, and I'm living the stress life right now, so I just figured I would have
your stress ball?
It's my stress ball today.
That's a good stress ball to have because you're not going to...
I like this ball.
What happened to Crammy, the little thing?
Yeah, where's Crammy? Oh, Crammy's up in the front. He's always watching everyone that comes in.
I feel like he's more of a stress ball.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say about Arlington Park is I actually am kind of sad.
Oh, because of the horsing part.
Because I have so many great memories as a kid going to Arlington Park. We would spend Mother's Day a lot there because my mom, that's like what she wanted to do on Mother's Day, and you get the years where it actually be really nice on a Sunday in May. And I remember the column I wrote when I was working at NBC, like when this kind of became a real thing that this was probably the direction this whole thing was going to go. It was when they announced Arlington Park was going to go for sale, and I immediately wrote a column that day: the Bears should buy this place, this is perfect. And then that's what ended up happening. But like, even in writing that column, I was like, it is sad to write this, because to me it was sad losing Arlington Park, and now that's realization as they take the wrecking ball to it today.
I love you sharing family stuff and the tender part of Mom's Day and all that, but I got to go to the business side right now. You should get residuals for that. You put the idea out there first, and correct me if I'm wrong. The Bears owe Hoag. They followed Hoag's lead. Am I missing something here?
It seems.
I mean,
all the breadcrumbs, and that's exactly what the Bears did.
You wrote it first. Bears ended up there. Not official, but
Hoaxerdamus sure is what Martin Ochoa is calling.
I sincerely doubt I was the only one that had that thought, though.
I don't care. You
obviously
wrote it.
Somebody at the Bears did. And the connection, there's
a whole. There has been a lot of connections.
That goes back a long time, and I don't think it was even like just the connection between the Bears and that area. It was an obvious thing. Despite some of the losing that's continued to go on recently, the Bears have done a lot of smart, obvious things lately in the last, 5 years that have made more sense to me.
Like, top five smart things the Bears have done in the last 5 years that do not include winning, go.
Revamped House Hall.
Yeah.
Doubled
the size of House Hall, invested in that. That's definitely one. I don't want to necessarily call it a forced retirement of Ted Phillips, but wherever the dots got connected there that, hey, yo, it's time. And that's connected to buying Arlington Park because you couldn't have Ted oversee the new thing again. Mm-hmm. Especially with just the timetable. It wouldn't have made sense. 10 more years? Like, no.
Yep.
So change at team president.
Yep. Hiring Kevin Warren. Good move.
Yep. / hiring Kevin Warren. We can group those together.
Adding the assistant general manager job and Ian Cunningham. That was new. That wasn't with the Bears prior to this new regime.
Good point, Nick. Yep.
Another
like
one there.
Yep.
I mean, you could kind of group all that into after the firing of Pace and Nagy, just the way
the front office
they were able to restructure the front office in the hierarchy. And then I think that's four, and that's not even including actually buying Arlington Park, which I would probably put number one
on the fly top five right there. And those are
I'll never forget the day the Bears came out with that statement that they were going down the road of purchasing Arlington Park. Because it was just, to me, it was such an obvious business move. Forget football for a second. Just like, if you think about the entities that could buy such a prime piece of land, NFL makes most sense. When you looked at what the Rams did in California, right? Former horse track, Hollywood Park, how they developed that. Like, whether you put a stadium on it or not, like, it just made, smart real estate business to me. Mm-hmm. But it was not it's not necessarily the Bears' history to make such a bold purchase like that. And to go down even a non-football path.
It's absolutely not their history.
No, their history and their family business is football.
Right.
Well, that's all it is. Unlike all these other team owners that have, they own freaking Yahoo or whatever. You know, there's so many that. So for them to make such a big purchase, and yes, it may and probably will. Now it looks like definitely one day include their stadium, their next stadium. But even that, owning their own stadium isn't Chicago Bears. Nope. Business.
Well, and then if we want to go on the field, the Bears' history is, if we go back to when I was a young lad, the Bears' history when they were winning Super Bowls was deciding that they didn't have the money to pay Wilbur Marshall because they didn't, for whatever reason that was, they let one of the key guys go to that defense and the defense was never the same. And then the bigger history is that they have never been able to figure out the quarterback. And in the last 5 years, Matt Nagy, you in the chat, in the last year, the Bears actually made a trade that made sense. You needed a quarterback. You needed him bad. It was worth gambling to go up to get him. He was a guy that somehow slipped. And yes, it's not all the way there yet, but the Bears did something smart about acquiring a quarterback that they literally have never done. Unless you want to throw Jay Cutler in there, but I'm not going to do that myself. Some people would. I would not. Even though, logically, at the time, even if I allow myself to come off my non-Cutler love, it did make sense. It just didn't – I just didn't like the guy they were getting as much as everybody else did at the time. This Fields, to me, was like, this – if you coach him upright, this should be your guy. And we're – I don't know. Halfway there? 60% there.
Yeah.
The season will be telling. They got their guy.
Nagy in the chat with "You're welcome, Chicago." Thanks, buddy.
Took a year from Fields.
Appreciate everybody being here on Tuesday after Memorial Day. It was a fun weekend. Please hit the like button. Please, if you're not subscribed, which you definitely should be, hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening to the podcast version, we love you too. Please rate and review us.
Tell us. Say something nice. We need it.
5 stars. Thank you.
Yeah, 5 stars. 4 stars, even if it's accurate, doesn't really help us. So go 5.
Yes. I mean, does it matter to you? How does that impact your life? Think about us. You're here for us.
Look, if you're here on a Tuesday watching us live after Memorial Day, at least one of us.
Yeah, at least one.
Right.
Something must be right if you're here. So please, we appreciate.
Do it for me.
We're not above.
Do it for Lawrence.
Do it for Lawrence.
We're not above begging.
No, the whole point is that this is a family here at CHGO. You guys are here included, and please help us continue to grow.
That was a great segue. Mm-hmm. Can we do it?
What a segue.
Sure. This is a hodgepodge of a show today. We have a ton to talk about, but I'm okay with whatever order it weaves into.
Well, you just said family.
Okay.
And I was...
Buzzword.
So I was riding down to good old work today, and I was going through Bears articles, and I somehow did not read Jim Trotter's piece in The Athletic when it was published. I'm reading it today. And then we get to the end of the piece, and his paragraph leading in says, "Polls, who believes the Bears should contend for the NFC North title this season?" Don't think that's not getting that. Think that's deserves at least some play here. "Knows the team has yet to arrive, but he also says last season seems like a distant memory because the vibe within the locker room is so different." And here's a quote from Polls, and that, as you see it, if you're watching on YouTube, "It's not even close. This is a different group. Practice meetings, the weight room. I feel like a family is starting to come together. Even with the rookie class just showing up this past week, there's just a different feeling. All together now. We are family."
Wait, didn't we
ban
you?
Wait, we
barred you from singing.
Yeah, we have to stop right now because I made a declaration.
You did?
That's on the show. When you did that nonsense going into Memorial Day weekend with your singing, that if we got to 200 likes, we would not let you sing ever again on the show. And someone pointed out, I think by Saturday, they sent me the screenshot on Twitter, that we were already at 375 likes on that show.
So then your proposition is null and void.
Why?
Because it already was there when you asked for it, and you just
No. When I asked for it,
No. Basically, shut up. No singing.
Yeah,
we
weren't at 200 likes. It got up to 375 because not everybody watches the show live. They saw it later, and everybody was pretty much unanimous. Said no more carb singing.
Every time you want to sing, just squeeze your stress ball over there.
All right, so I'm just going to, make mention to you.
I was digging it.
I just want to, I don't know if you're aware of this, Hoag.
He's on his phone again.
Yeah, he's on his phone while he's talking now.
Well, I gotta pull up the messages. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Carm, from my guy Alexandre Farapas. "Carm, about the show today, absolutely loved it and love the fact that you don't take yourself too seriously. It's amazing to see. I was truly entertained and laughed out loud a lot. All love from Portugal." Portugal weighed in on that tune, and you are just...
Like the whole country?
That's correct. And you are denying Portugal their joy.
I agree with everything that is said right there in that text. I do love that you are yourself. And you're comfortable,
but
being
you want to stop myself from selfing.
Okay, there are people here that say let Carm sing.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
I must fight back for all my diehards out there.
Pepe says don't cherry pick Carm. Read all the other messages.
Okay, I'll read you another one. "Hey, Mark, I'm a huge Bears fan all the way from Israel, and my dad and I really enjoy everything you and CHGO do. My mom and dad are about to celebrate their 20th wedding anniversary, and I'd appreciate it if you could make a short video." And then he talks about, okay, there's nothing about my singing in here. But
he just wants a cameo.
Yeah.
But Portugal. What we are learning here is Carm is bigger abroad than he is in America.
Portugal, Israel, the lakefront.
Now, hold on, though, because my mom also chimed in.
Oh, here comes the mom.
Uh-oh. Yeah, this was right after the show.
Oh, no.
Man. Instant.
Can't believe she Lawrence's mom's out of my team.
I actually turned the sound down really low. I vote less, as in less singing.
That's got to hurt.
That does hurt. I mean,
oh no.
I walked into the restaurant. I met Lawrence's mom in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. We bonded, and now,
no more singing.
3 months later, just she's turning down the volume.
She's no longer Team Carm.
Yikes.
That's a good point, Dave says. I mean, you should get on Cameo because you might have a side gig.
No, honestly, Carm,
ask. Then you get paid for your singing.
I got accepted for Cameo. Mark, you're definitely getting accepted and getting a bunch of requests.
Accepted? You have to get approved?
You have to get approved.
What are you charging for a Cameo, Nick?
Just whatever.
I don't remember that.
That's what it was, I guess. I mean, let me see.
Isn't it embarrassing, though, to go on Cameo and be like, hey, it's Nick. I'll charge you $10.
Done it, but I got accepted, so.
There's something on Cameo that is,
it's just Cameo. Weird.
Little.
Yeah.
I mean, I would gladly.
I send the money I get to charity because I don't feel comfortable. Something about it nice, feels uncomfortable taking money for just like.
Yeah. Listen, if anybody wants a video from me, just reach out. I'll do it. We don't need no Cameo.
Well, you're on OnlyFans, right?
Oh.
I did get somebody sending me an OnlyFans request. But
Super chat from JJ499. Though Carm is forbidden from singing, I'd love to hear his take on Aaron Rodgers at the Taylor Swift concert. I did see that.
He was feeling himself.
Rodgers hanging out with Miles Teller. For some reason, I realized I follow Kaylee Teller on Instagram.
Is that his girlfriend?
It has to do with Rodgers. Somehow.
Wait, they were. I remember them hanging out.
Yeah, like
in
a
Hawaii,
year ago when he was still with what's her face,
the crazy chick.
Who was really good in that one show. Great explanation for me.
Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. Who cares about him and her?
Anyway, Rodgers loving Taylor Swift.
He's a Swifty.
Listen,
is he coming to Chicago this weekend? Will he be here at Soldier Field?
I mean, he does own.
He owns
the stadium.
Probably can get a seat.
He'd be one of the few people that could afford a ticket. Let's go. The Swifties. Hey, I'm not surprised that Aaron enjoys Taylor. Who doesn't?
If you're going to try to actually go to that concert last minute, I recommend the Game Time app.
Game Time is a great way to get there. Well, can we just get a follow-up on the whole we have a family building here thing? Do you like
it? Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
You guess what?
This just seems like a car. You have a problem with it.
No. No. I thought that I honestly thought that you would have a problem with it. Like,
why? I think he's actually talking about us at CHGO going into year two. We're starting to build this family up. We have our diehards. We have our super chats. It's feeling more like the first year was the building year at CHGO. Now we're into year two.
Yeah.
I think it is symbolic, and I think the Bears and CHGO are on the same page.
I like it.
Okay, I guess maybe I have a drop of a problem with the whole.
Of course you do.
What the Bears are trying to do in this piece underlines that they want their players to feel like they are more than just football guys. They want to give them the full complement of mental health and nutritional and physical well-being, just showing that they care. I think all of that is beautiful. And I am a huge proponent of people talking about themselves and their feelings and getting to know themselves so they can be better to the people that matter to them in their lives and or be a teammate on the football field. I think all that is phenomenal. I think the Bears are absolutely in the right place. But I'm also like, this is the NFL, and this is which stands for not for long, and there's very few guys in that locker room that get to hang out for any level of extended period of time, even if you're great. Guys like Roquan Smith end up in Baltimore. So I appreciate the fact they're trying to be a full-service organization. I think it is a next-level play. And there's also, like, it just seems very challenging to be an actual family when this is the National Football League. That's all. And I thought that you would have a huge pushback on it because you're like, there's no family. You guys are hired here to play football. Come in, kick ass, maim who's ever crossed the way, and straight business, period.
Yeah, see, but I do think that the more successful teams in the league have, first of all, an identity, which I do think the Bears are building successfully. Like, I one of the things I'm most encouraged by is, right or wrong, they know what they want to be. We'll find out if it's the right way or the wrong way. But they know what they want to be, and they're finding the players that fit that, both free agents and college players when they come in. And they're getting there. And so I do think that that's the best way to go when you're building a football team at any level, quite frankly, is you got to know what you want to be, and you got to make it obvious to anybody from day one who's walking in that building that this is who we are, this is what we're going to do, and these are the players we're going to try to acquire to fit that. And I think that's probably what Ryan Poles is mostly talking about. And then from that standpoint, because you're not wrong either, that it is not for long, and very few players are actually going to come in there and leave 5-6 years later. It's more likely it's going to be 2 to 3 years or even less. But you do develop a core of players that are there ideally for 7, 8, 9, close to a decade. You know, and that's what, if you look back at the more successful tenures in Bears history, that's what they had. Like, when we look back at the last solid tenure, which when they made the Super Bowl but didn't win, like, we look back at a bunch of those guys, like Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs and Peanut Tillman and Olin Krutz and, you know, even like Roberto Garza, guys like that, they came, you know, they were that core, and they fit the identity of what the Bears were trying to be at that point. So I think that's what, I really think that's what Poles is talking about.
You know, real quickly, too, I think it goes beyond what they are obviously were doing on the football field. They were winning games during those times when they had longevity between players on the field. But it's like those guys would hang out with each other off the field, too. That family connection where I think Poles is trying to mention there is that obviously it was a new regime, new things being implemented, but now they're used to it. Now they get to know one another. I think that's what helps a lot of teams win either football games in any team sport. I was watching The Last Dance, and a lot of those guys, right, had connections, you know, off the court as well. And you don't win 6 championships like the Bulls do without having some kind of chemistry with one another, I would think. But it's like, I think that's what he's trying to get at with the family aspect. Like, let's become brotherly off the football field. We know what we're like. We know what makes each other tick and things like that. And then when you get on the football field, you can have that instant connection. I can throw that back shoulder fade because I know exactly we're on the same wavelength here. So I think that's what he's trying to get at with the Bears now going into year 2 of this regime.
I mean, when you like bring the Bulls into it, it's like, I mean, Judd Bushler and Steve Kerr and Bill Wennington can all be great friends. If they didn't have the lunatic at the top, like, none of it would matter. And but which gets me to, like, as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking, like, does Fields – in year 3 and like going forward here, does he sort of need to develop into that alpha dog in the room that sort of sets the Bears culture to drive home what Poles is leaning into here, what the Bears are trying to do, like to give you all the playing tools off the field to like create the culture that they want? Like, does that have to come from the QB? And if it's not going to be him, then who would it be?
Well, I think it does have to come to the QB. And I think he's on his way to doing that.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, like he's, and I'm basing that more off of what his teammates say about him, especially like some of the new guys that just signed here and the way they talk about Fields.
Well, and what he's doing with his comments on Claypool are that way.
Yeah.
I mean, he, in the middle of the issue last year, stepped up and had the conversation on the sideline. He's still talking about it now.
I think it's good.
Yeah, yep. That's a level of leadership, and I just don't think it's necessarily his number one in his nature to be the vocal guy.
No, yeah,
right. But maybe it's something that he's stepping into.
I think he's always been more vocal behind the scenes though than
that's
than maybe that, he comes
that,
off
that
to
feels
us.
Right.
And I mean the COVID year in the Big Ten.
Yeah,
like that was something where you see his leadership on full display.
Like he took over. He was like the face of the whole conference, not just his own team. That's smart, hard to do.
He's a smart dude.
Yeah,
Justin is
not afraid to lead for sure. Like that's in him.
All right, 100 days to the season. We're gonna get to some of the moves we still want to see the Bears make. But if you were one of the people consuming a lot of great sports over the weekend. Well, the Indy 500 was going on. You had some great basketball.
Game 7.
Really mad at myself, by the way, because I think I even said to you on Saturday night when that game ended, I'm like, I want to bet the Heat in Game 7. You're gonna get a great number, and the Heat are definitely winning. No way they're going to – no way Jimmy Butler's going to lose four games in a row. Just no chance. And then I forgot to do it. That's a whole side conversation, but
– I did not have that feeling at all.
Really?
No.
I mean, I didn't necessarily think they were going to blow him out, but I felt very confident that he were winning.
I mean, Tatum sprained his ankle the first play of the game.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big impact.
Which
there.
Definitely cost me a little money.
Yes. Well,
he didn't hit his.
But I'm assuming you guys were all watching. You should have been doing it on Fubo TV, and kudos for you if you were, because they have 140 plus live channels of sports, shows, movies, and news. You can stream live TV from any device. Watch the most Chicago sports for the lowest price. Start watching immediately with a 7-day free trial. There's no contract, no cable, no hassle. It's very easy. You just sign up, you start watching, and you get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. Watch your Cubbies while you're traveling, your White Sox, French Open, WNBA. So much going on. We got the NHL draft coming up. Bedard on his way. F1. UFC, it's all there on Fubo. You can watch the Cubs on Marquee, the White Sox, and NBC Sports Chicago with Fubo TV. Use the link in the description to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro.
I'm sure everybody this past Memorial Day weekend was rocking their Shady Rays, and if you aren't, that's okay, because I'm going to tell you all about them, and you can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades and affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn here at CHGO. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Have mine in my car. Convenient. Know I'm going to have my eyes protected. Look good wearing my Shady Rays. And what's awesome, if you lose or break your pair, it's an important part here. Even on day one, they told us they'll send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence, because they have your back long after your purchase. The Shady Rays Memorial Day sale is live right now, so go to ShadyRays.com and get 35% off all sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people.
Good old guy, Vince. First time watching the channel live and just bought my first Shady Rays. Congratulations, Vince. Wear them. Enjoy them.
Way to go, Vince.
The big V. Let's go.
Shady Rays were on my face a lot this week. A lot of outside time.
Yeah, we could get to that at the back end of the show. Why don't we do top 100, and then I want to talk about Hogue on a boat.
Hogue on a boat. All right, do you have a song for that?
No, he does not.
Oh, I mean, I probably do. If Hogue had a boat.
All right, well, as we said off the top, 100 days until the start of the season.
He podcasts from the ocean. Okay, go ahead.
We could do a podcast on a boat, for sure. I'm ready to go.
Oh, God. Okay, let's go. Top 100.
What's the one move, Bears fans, that you want to see Ryan Poles make before the start of the season? Nick was the most convicted on this topic, so we're going to start with him.
Yeah, might as well put your moves that you want Ryan Poles to make in the comments here. But the big one for me is I want to see Cole Kmet get that contract extension, you guys. I look at him, what he did for this Bears offense last season, even though it was not good for a majority of the year, he still led the team with 544 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns last season. But something that doesn't get talked about that he did improve in his game was his run blocking. He had 457 snaps run blocking. I don't think he's going to have that much going into the 2023 season. But even though he had a larger volume of blocking plays, his blocking grade increased if you look at the PFF grades. But if you just look at the film as well, Cole Kmet was a better blocker last season than he was the previous 2 years. So not only does his blocking improve, his receiving did. He went from 5 drops in 2021 to 2 drops in 2022. He made a ridiculous one-handed catch in that game against the Atlanta Falcons. He's a playmaker, and I think when the Bears brought in Robert Tonyan, he said something interesting about this offense. Like, it runs through the tight end. So I don't think we've seen what the potential can be with a Cole Kmet who's humming now with Justin Fields in year two of Luke Getsy's offense, and how that can really impact what the Bears want to do offensively. So for me, I want to see Cole Kmet get that contract extension. There's still more that I think he has left in his game, and I think 2023 can be another year where he improves on those marks, receiving yards. Can he eclipse the 7 touchdowns? It might be tough, but Now with another year in this offense, I'm not going to hold him to any low expectations because I do expect him to do some big things in 2023.
I got no problem and generally just agree with the whole concept. They should absolutely extend Cole Kmet. That should get done. I think you pay less.
I think it's also the most likely of all the extensions to get done before the start of the season.
I would agree. He's unlike Darnell Mooney. He's not coming off an injury. He's incredibly well respected in that locker room as well. He fits everything that the Bears are all about as far as the hits philosophy. I'm totally with you. But I'll do somebody different just because we need help on the other side of the ball. I would like the Bears to go out and get a dude who led his team in quarterback hits last season with 17. He led his team the year prior with 9.5 sacks. He is familiar with the Flus, played for him for 2 years when the Flus was a defensive coordinator. He had 19 sacks and 30 QB hits in those 2 years, so he fits in the system. He's 27th all-time in sacks in the history of the NFL with 111.5, so he's still doing it. Dude's played in 9 playoff games, been in the postseason 7 times, but he's never won a Super Bowl, and we all know the Bears are going to be right there for the Super Bowl this year, so he can do that here. And, he's a little bit older, but he's still doing it, man. Fountain of youth. So for economical, somebody who can get to the quarterback, a leader who fits in the system, go get Justin Houston, man. He's sitting there. He's 34 years old. I mean, you're looking for a stopgap here. I think that's just a very fair plan, a guy who's somehow beating Father Time, and if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen as far as him being the same performer, but I think it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah, I think it's solid because, he had a stretch last year where he racked up a ton of sacks over like a 4 week.
I mean, 17 QB hits, man. That's
a lot of it came right in the middle of the season, and then he tailed off. I think he had no sacks for like 7 straight weeks or something like that. But mine is also a pass rusher because I don't know how you can look at this roster right now and be like, that's not the most concerning thing. And I understand that Yannick Ngakoue has his downsides and isn't the greatest run defender of all time, but the guy has 8 sacks, at least a minimum of 8 sacks in every year of his career.
That's what he does.
And that's what the Bears need. Like, so you can find a way to make it work. I also don't want – I still think there needs to be more competition, too, at defensive end. Like, if you're going to continue to push Travis Gibson, Dominique Robinson, like, there's just, like, a missing veteran there for me. And I just – 8 sacks. I mean – the Bears didn't have anyone on the D-line come close to that last year.
Jaquan Brisker was your leading sack production
player
last season.
What position does he play?
He's your strong safety.
the other guy who was up there was Roquan Smith, who played for a different team for half the year.
They need guys that can produce, and especially just get to the quarterback.
I mean, to go back to where we were talking about as far as building a family – and before that, the comment was that he expects them to compete for the North. Well, if that's true, and I'm not exactly sure if he's just saying that because why? No, we don't expect to compete for the North. You're not going to say that on May whatever. But if he does actually believe that, or dreaming it at least, then you got to get some people who can get to the QB and take some risk here and pay some money. But these should be 1 year deals. So it sets you up for next offseason, too.
The other reason why I like Yannick is he's still only 28.
Mm-hmm. Good player, yeah.
You know, so there is upside there that on a 1 year deal, maybe, it clicks.
Prove it, yep.
And he ends up being here for a while. So I just don't see the downside of that one. Again, though, as I've said so many times, like, I don't necessarily know why any of these guys are going to be in a hurry. Because they don't need to go to OTAs right now. They could skip mini camp. They get signed right before a training camp or even 2 weeks in the training camp to avoid the hardest part of training camp. So It's not like there's a rush here. Now, one guy where I'm very intrigued to see how quickly he does sign, and it's been brought up here by a lot of commenters, and I get why, and I don't think it's happening with the Bears, but DeAndre Hopkins. Now, one quick thing. I don't think he's actually been released yet. I know it was announced by the Cardinals Friday, but I do not believe it has actually hit the transaction wire in the league office. So I would expect it to today with the holiday weekend. But to me, that leaves open the possibility that, I don't know, before 3 o'clock today, if anybody last minute wants to make a phone call and make a trade, maybe that's still a possibility. But the expectation of him hitting the open market, let's just frame this discussion this way. If, because I don't think it's happening with the Bears, and I think it's complicated. But if DeAndre Hopkins called you right now, Ryan Poles, and said, this is where I want to sign, would you sign him?
So there's an interesting report out there, courtesy of my guy Gary Ross, who we had a great morning meeting today.
Gary Ross is reporting stuff now?
Well, no, he's not reporting. He's sending the Albert Breer report from Sports Illustrated to me. So Gary deserves a shout-out for that. Thank you, my brother. According to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, there appears to be a healthy divide among executives regarding what Hopkins brings to the table at this stage of his career. One veteran team executive expressed skepticism, suggesting that the receiver has lost a step in terms of his top speed, stating, not much. He can't run anymore. The assessment raises concern about Hopkins' ability to create separations from defenders and contribute as a deep threat. And the Cardinals are cutting him. So there's a pretty strong reason why he's out there. Depending on the dollars, I would be willing to take a flyer on him.
Nick?
If he said he wants to come to Chicago, and I know there's like the issue, like what if he'll be all in. I think that's like character concerns that get brought up. This year's about evaluating Justin Fields. Remember that. You don't think DeAndre Hopkins helps in now it is a crowded wide receiver room, no doubt, but he helps that. That big question that needs to be answered by the end of 2023, can Fields play the quarterback position and pass at an elite level? I think he helps that. And if he wants to come to Chicago, so I think you find a way.
So I'll play devil's advocate here. Who snaps is he taking if he's here?
That's what I want to get at. It's a little bit more complicated. One of the things we heard at OTAs last week is how much it seems like the receiver room and Justin Fields likes the fact that they know, DJ Moore, you are our X receiver.
It's true.
You're a clear-cut number one guy playing that. Each receiver position is different in terms of what you have to know in the playbook. And it having defined roles is beneficial. So, you know, I don't think anybody's wrong in this discussion. Like, Nick, you're right. In a vacuum, does DeAndre Hopkins, who probably still has, you know, top three hands in the entire league, help Justin Fields? Yeah, probably. But what about everything else behind the scenes?
No, it's true.
How much does it, you know, impact? Now you just got DJ Moore. Is he got to move out of that position on some snaps? It's not necessarily one of those you just say, oh, this is a luxury to, you know, a problem that's a good problem to have. I'm not sure I would go that far, and especially because I've heard that stuff that Albert Breer reported too. Like, I think there is concern about his separation ability. I don't think there's any concern about his ability to go up and get the football still and make the catch once the ball's there. But we had this discussion back before the trade for DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was – I think we were all on board with it, but it wasn't clear-cut because of – at that point, we thought it was going to have to be a trade, and that obviously was a huge part of it. That does change the conversation a little bit. But nobody was sitting there debating at the time that trading for DJ Moore was a better deal for the Bears than trading for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, no-brainer.
Age, ability at this point, the fit, what else the Bears were able to get in that trade instead of give up.
True, yep.
So, I don't know. I don't think it's a black and white, easy yes or no answer on that one. And I would probably lean towards, now that DJ Moore's on board, I don't think I would do it.
I don't think the Bears would do it, to be completely honest.
Well, and that's a different conversation. I don't think it's happening.
No. Well, right. We're all in agreement, and to everybody in the chat who's saying that he's not coming here. We all agree.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be a Bear. The conversation is about should he be a Bear, or in what circumstance
makes sense
would it make would it even possibly make sense for him to be a Bear? But the pain of it for me is like, here's a guy who's sitting out there that anybody can have, and who's going to put up better numbers next year, Chase Claypool or DeAndre Hopkins?
Ooh, that's
I mean, I hope it's Claypool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be. I think it will be Claypool. He's certainly got a lot more left in the tank here and a lot less miles on the tread. But that dude gets in the right situation and
joins Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. I mean, obviously they have chemistry with one another. Who knows? That could be something.
I think there's a very good chance we've seen the best of DeAndre Hopkins has already happened.
Yeah, well, that's I think that's clear.
And so it's not. I don't know.
I'll throw out one other name also that the one and only Gary Ross was throwing at me today that's former Bear. What would you think about bringing Adrian Amos back, who the Packers say they want to bring back but haven't yet? Little secondary depth. Played a lot of football for Green Bay for, his first from 2019 to 2022 wasn't on the field as much last year, but he's only 30 years old. Secondary depth, anybody?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, he's a backup here.
Right. Yeah. Little depth veteran, knows the Bears, knows the Packers. Quality, I'm assuming that everything's going to be fine with Eddie, but he is coming off, Liz Frank, all that. I wouldn't mind having another vet back there.
No, I don't know.
He played solid here in Chicago. He's not somebody that you had to worry about. You knew he was going to do his job.
That's kind of what he was in Green Bay, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
that's
sexy.
That's just who he is.
It's not a sexy situation. You're not going on a date with Moriano. But, you're slumming over here with a Karma or a Hogue. But, we're going to take you out. It'll be a
fun time.
Conversation. You just don't get that scene. No offense to you or myself, but
I didn't ask for this.
I'm not offended.
Okay.
I don't really understand what you're going for, but
have you seen this guy?
Now I'm offended.
He's like catalog quality.
Wow.
Walks down the street and people swoon for Moriano.
It only happened like 2 times. I'm kidding.
All right. Well, listen, and to that point, I mean, they don't even need to be drinking anything good like Chicago's very own Goose Island, which CHGO is thrilled to be supported by. Chicago's beer since 1988, baby. The beer roster is dynamic. The Goose IPA, tropical beer hug. I was up in Hogue's Estate in Fox Lake, and you want a beer, and you open it up, and there they were. The 312 Wheat Ale, the Full Pocket Pills, is what I believe I had.
There's a lot of Full Pocket Pills.
I was crushing a Full Pocket Pills. It was delicious. You want to grab that Ultra Fresh Brewery exclusive beers at the Goose Island Original Brew House on Clybourne Avenue in Lincoln Park, or head on over to their tap room on Fulton Street in Westtown. The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Thank you to Goose.
I love Eric's comment. Boats and Hogues.
Boats and Hogues. That's pretty
good. Hogue on a boat.
You were impressive. I'm mad at myself. I didn't take a photo, but there was Carm on a Saturday Memorial Day weekend, wearing his Pins and Aces and drinking a Goose Island.
Wow.
I mean, just the company man that he is.
That's right.
Good job being a shill.
You hear that, Brandon Spano? I had everything going on.
I mean, I also on Saturday I was wearing a Goose Island, something like that little zip up thing I have, and drinking Goose, and had my Shady Rays on.
So relaxing.
Company man.
I mean, and Lawrence and I this morning, I was walking down the street after getting my egg and cheese sandwich in my CHGO shirt, and here comes Benedetto walking across the street in his gear going to get a coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, we were creating waves in the West Loop.
Waves.
Which by the way, no, I won't do that today. Never mind. Nick, do you have something that you want to add here, or am I missing something?
Yeah, I mean, I can start things off here, Mark. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future.
Yes, indeed, Nick. ComEd, my guys, they offer a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across the territory, like my guy Greg Braggs. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, like for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
A lot there, Mark. How exactly does that all work?
There is a lot there, and so what you're going to need is an authorized engineer who's going to come out and work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. You're going to talk all that through. This, of course, can be done in person or virtually. It does last about 2 hours. And then within 3 to 4 weeks, customers are going to get a detailed energy report about their efficiency products that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation does include the estimated energy savings, cost savings, the project costs, potential incentives, and a simple payback as well. If you own a business, don't wait. Seriously, get doing it today. Start saving money and that energy today. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz.
Did you say comed.com/poweringbiz there, Carm?
You bet your sweet bippy I did. Schedule it today. comed.com/poweringbiz.
Bippy.
Sweet bippy.
Sweet Bippy.
All right, we got a lot of super chats to power through here, and then I think we'll...
I have a couple of things I want to get to. A
couple of things to get to at the back end of the show. But Lawrence, take it away, my friend.
Okay, let's just start. Let's just start with the Joker, because why not? Dollar99 says, next time Carm sings, can we suspend him for a week?
Rude.
Wow.
We'll have to talk with Kevin Kaduk, head of content.
No.
About that. Not sure what the answer is.
I don't know. Let's wait till after the summer before we do that.
let's just try to have him not sing. We don't want to be put in that position. Cornelius, $4.99, thank you. If Justin Fields throws for 3,100 yards and 22 touchdowns with a 62% completion percentage and 700 rushing yards and we win 7 games... do we pay him? Those are very specific numbers. I like that.
It's a lower than the 4,000 I was setting at, but overall, the 4,000 overall.
7 games.
22 TDs. How many rushing? There's a couple missing things here. How many rushing touchdowns?
I'll do it like this. 15 touchdowns.
How many interceptions? Like, what's the touchdown percentage? What's
22 to 10.
That's like last season.
Yeah.
With a little bit more. I think you pick up the fifth year option and you roll ahead without an extension. I think that's the answer.
He didn't blow you away with those numbers and the team. I mean, I think they can get over 7 wins. We talked about that the last couple shows, so don't know.
It'll be a tricky thing for Poles because you don't want to insult your quarterback. But you also are going to have to negotiate. So is there a number that they can both agree on? I spent part of my weekend reading ESPN had a piece about paying quarterbacks. And, you know, if you go back through time, Tom Brady took less money because he wanted to win. Fields most recently said he doesn't care about dough, and then it's about wins. And I'm reading these pieces, too, and it's – and. I don't care about the money. Well, you're making $35, $40, $50 million a year. I just find it to be bizarre that we completely lose how much money that is. Like, can you even imagine that much money?
No.
I mean, what does that check look like? You make $35 million a year? I don't care about the money. I'm all about the way. You know, it's easy to say. At 35 grand, you could say you don't care about the money. At 350,000, you can maybe. 35 million. Like what's Fields? How many yachts does he need to ski behind to help build a Super Bowl champion? Does he care about that? Or is it just about, look, I'm the next in line. It keeps going up. I'm going to get as much as I possibly can get. And that's your job to figure out how to win. My job is to be as good as I possibly can get and get market value.
That's a deep, deep, deep conversation.
Deep.
But I think we're learning that with Mahomes right now. Well, Mahomes is kind of at a...
He's the seventh highest paid.
I know. But when he signed that deal, he was... The most he was paid, he was highest by $10 million per year, and it's just how the market changes. So,
like 2 years ago, too.
Yeah,
changes quick.
But in Tom Brady's case, like Tom Brady's a great example because whatever you want to say about Tom Brady, he did take less money at times to help pay. He was at times underpaid
for sure. For
arguably being the greatest player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And but to your point, I don't think you heard of it all. The dude just bought part of the Raiders or is in the process of doing it.
He's sitting just
like
fine.
Tom Brady ain't hurting for money. I think he's doing just fine with all his other businesses.
Well, and
because of the rings.
Yeah, and the Patriots were able to add on that helped him get those rings. Yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert on the Patriots cap and how they did everything, but I'm assuming that it had his willingness to take less money over time to help them get players that they would not have gotten.
What's next? What we got?
All right. This is from Yosh, another Fields question. $5. Thanks, Yosh. Do you think Justin Fields will be on the NFL top 100 players this year? That's the list voted by the players. I believe he will, says Yosh.
All right, Yosh. Yoshino.
All right.
Top 100.
I'm going to say yes, and it's because of what I know about this process. And how, like, they literally hand these ballots to players in the locker room, and they're like, give us your top 100 players.
Tough to do.
And I forget if they actually write 100 down or if it's just top 20 or something. Regardless, it's not a very scientific process. It also happens before the season's over. So I'm trying to think about like when Justin Fields was at his peak last year. And
recency bias.
Off the top of my head, sounds about the same time that they start handing those top 100 ballots out to the players. And you just hear how other players talk about him.
Mm-hmm. A lot of respect.
He's going to be on there.
I think he will be.
I think so too.
As far as defenders talking about quarterbacks and their pure athletic talent and what he did, Fields got the unscientific Karim Poll, but it seemed like he got by far the most compliments of any QB in the league last year. I mean, people were coming out of games like, how the hell did he do that? And that was, you know, frequent. So, yeah. I'm with you. Top 100. Let's go.
Down the list.
All righty. This one is from Daniel Scheinman, 499. If you know Scheinman. Any Bears trainers, please look up Wim Hof and his breathing techniques and training methods for extreme cold. It could help Fields a lot.
Breathing techniques. Okay.
Interesting.
Nick, do you know anything about Wim Hof?
Do not.
I think this is in response to just Fields kind of being open about how he doesn't necessarily like being in the cold and would prefer to have a roof on the stadium.
Well, he needs to go next level then, and he needs to start taking the cold showers in the morning. We need some cold exposure, and you want to be oxygenating. Deep breathing is very important.
But is it actually a problem or is it just a preference? Like, is he having trouble breathing out there? Or is he just
he's having trouble cramping. I don't think that's related to what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, that was happening.
That's more a heat issue than a cold issue.
Wim Hof's that dude, though. Like, I remember now that name rings a bell. He has, like, a Netflix series or somewhere, one of the streaming services. And can teach people to survive in Arctic cold temperatures, no clothes on, just by breathing. Won't get frostbite or anything. Wim Hof's that guy.
There he is. Look at that. Yeah. Look at that dude.
Yeah. I feel secure and safe if he was teaching me how to breathe.
That guy looks like he's on drugs.
What's wrong with that?
All right, $5 from Alan.
How you breathe in the cold?
Watson.
Take lots of cocaine.
You smoke a serious amount of weed, and you get in the damn water. You chill out. Wim Hof. I got you, Wim Hof.
Okay, here's $5 from Alan Watson. Would you trade Johnson, that's Jalen Johnson, and or Mooney plus picks to sign your long-term three-tech or defensive end?
Who are we talking here?
Is to sign your long-term.
Who's the 1-3 tech you want?
I mean, is that like a Quinnen Williams like, kind of thing? Okay.
Like, is that the question?
Yes, I would.
Are you signing?
Yes, yeah. Is the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. If you got the right guy, for sure.
Long-term 3-tech or DN? Tell me I can have Nick Bosa or something like that?
So that's a trade, essentially. It's Johnson or Mooney plus picks. You get Quinnen Williams, you sign him. I don't know.
More established player.
I don't like having this question after the draft. You just drafted two defensive tackles. Like before the draft, yes.
They'll be fine. They're going to play. They'll all get swings.
Rotation.
Reps. Football. Baseball season.
Taking the trade. Getting me a D-end. Whichever one I want.
You tell me you wouldn't trade Darnell Mooney, who you got to pay to get Quinnen Williams right now?
No, I would, but what's... Yeah, I don't... When he picks, it might be like...
Imagine
the first round pick.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Then we get a little...
It's too soon to make a move like that. We had this conversation about the Khalil Mack trade.
I got you.
You got to know what you have with Justin Fields before you start giving away picks like that.
Good point.
Excellent point. I agree.
It's just
I'm not
the truth.
I'm not pushing back. But, okay, I am pushing back. You're going to find out what you have with Fields with or without Mooney this year would be my bet. Like, I don't think he's that essential. Poor. And I like Darnell Mooney. But I think to Ryan Poles' credit, I don't think like it's as contingent upon one of their receivers right now outside of DJ Moore. If you didn't have Claypool, if you didn't have Mooney, if Tyler Scott got hurt, if I go in and be a St. Brown.
Dante Pettis again.
I put you in there, EQ. I got you. I see what you did last year. You made some moves. Where the hell's N'Keal Harry?
I don't know. Not on a team?
Remember when he found N'Keal Harry in the end zone, man? Big-bodied receiver. We were fired up.
Yeah, he was wide open, right?
Shouldn't we do an entire show this offseason dedicated to N'Keal Harry?
No, we should not.
We'll do maybe a wide receiver episode.
that could be on the Metro with you.
Does anybody want to do sidewalk show? Spaces, Braggs, N'Keal Harry?
You and Braggs can do a Spaces show on N'Keal Harry.
Maybe Braggs should do a bad episode on N'Keal Harry and what he brought in.
Top five N'Keal Harry moments.
Top five N'Keal Harry moments, Braggs from his pool.
Sounds nice.
All right, next question from Austin Cole. More of a comment. Thank you, Austin. You guys should look into the Tom Grossi 30 and 30 fundraiser for St. Jude. Even if he is a dirty Packers fan, he'll be in Chi-Town soon.
Oh, is that the comedian?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
He's apparently going to 30 different stadiums or cities or NFL cities.
Oh, I saw something about that this morning. Where was that? Yeah, sounds good. We'll look it up. Thank you, Austin. Appreciate
had him
it.
On the Audible show before.
I don't care what fan. My favorite Packer fans are the ones that raise a lot of money for good causes.
That's good a ones. Good fan. Way to go, Packer fan. We're coming for you.
And I guess my family, too. That happens. You know, a lot of Packer fans in my family.
All right.
Good. I guess I like them, too.
Eric.
You got a good family.
Freer. $2 says Boats and Hogs. And go Carm.
And
appreciate it, Eric. That's just the right type of support we need here.
So
By the way, update from Mom.
Yeah?
Please tell Carm that I do love listening to him on the podcast. They wouldn't be as interesting without him.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
Hey.
But she didn't say this, but I'll add it. Just stop singing.
We're back. Me and Law's mom are back. So I was up in the Fox Lake this weekend, if I may, and I went to the Hogue summer home and saw Papa Hogue and your sister and your wife and your kids. But that was all great. But I was visiting somebody else up there on the other side of the little point there, if you will, in the Fox Lake. People know the Fox Lake. And it's in the afternoon, and I'm sitting at the table, and somebody's like, hey, is that your friend down there? And I looked, this house is up on the top of the hill. I looked down on the water, and there's Hoag in his boat looking like, I don't know, Captain Steubing in from the Love Boat or something. And I was just like, nobody's been more in their element than sitting behind the steering wheel on a boat than Adam Hoag just rolling around with his family in the Fox Lake on Memorial Day weekend. You were in your element, dude.
I was definitely in my element, yeah.
I mean, you are just...
I always tell people, like...
Hoag on a boat.
Just
boats and Hoag.
It doesn't even have to be a boat. Find yourself a piece of water... and float on it. It is just oddly...
Just go.
Not even oddly, just predictably relaxing.
Yeah,
when you have four crazy kids that are on the boat at the moment, fighting over spaces and things that they fight about on a boat.
Find a lake, float on it, Hoag.
I mean, what lake is that? The Fox Lake?
Yeah. You were technically on Pistakey, but...
See it? Yeah. See there? I knew there was. See, there's a lot of moving parts up there.
No. You actually. I'm sorry. You were on Nippersink.
I was on Nippersink.
You were on Nippersink.
Okay. I was on Nippersink. Yeah. So yeah.
And I think that should be part of the story here. This was not an planned encounter. You texted me, "Hey, I'm going to be here. Is this close to your place?" And I put it in my phone, and it was literally down the block.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I was like, "All right, well."
And it took all of your power to not say, no, that's not anywhere close.
Yeah. No, that's on the opposite side of, that's maybe the farthest lake away. But this actually kind of leads me to a somewhat scary realization, because after that somewhat random encounter, which actually turned out to be a lot of fun, my phone last night, you know how on the iPhone, so Nick, sorry, you can't be a part of this, with your Samsung. Maybe they do this on Samsung. I don't know. But you know how your iPhone will, like, suggest, like, photo albums for you?
Yeah, like photo memories.
Montages. Yeah. Like, memories and, like...
I got one of those yesterday.
Yeah, sometimes they're creepy, depending on... I don't know. So, I got one last night that said portraits over the years. So, it's like a long-term photo album. And it was about one person. Mark Carman.
Oh, no.
Yes. I've infiltrated
and like
phone.
It went back to like photos I have of him at like WGN.
Your phone's listening, man. That phone freaking heard me at the Fox Lake.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Us at TC Boost. One time we did a workout there before the draft.
That.
We were in 40s. That was in there.
That was
Carm
awesome.
Had a lot less gray hair in that photo. Wow. Me too. I just and it just made me realize. I think I
spent too much time.
I think
with
I spent too much time with Mark Carman. Yeah. It was treating this photo album with the music and everything. It was like I think it was intended to be like my wife.
Yeah, that's frightening.
The music,
you know,
they're so good. You could post this reel. I'm like, well,
I don't want to post that one.
Yeah, no, that would have been awkward.
There would have been a lot of negative reaction to it.
Yeah, no, they would have killed you. Been hanging out with that guy. As we're wrapping up here, and Nick and I are both wearing Bulls stuff, can we just do one split minute on the guy that's...
Does that mean 30 seconds each? One split minute?
Yeah.
You can have my 30 seconds.
Well, you know, Scottie Pippen... you're breaking Bulls fans' hearts. You're calling Michael Jordan a horrible player.
Idiot.
You guys used to be peaches and cream.
Tight.
Hot fudge and ice cream. I mean, all the good things. Hot dog and mustard. Mm-hmm. And now you're oil and water. And that just sucks. But, Scotty, this whole great teammate thing... I have never in my life, like if people, you know, that say, hey, Carm, you got to stay on track. But yeah, you got a point. You'll get off track. Scottie Pippen, never. Great teammate. Dude, you would not go on the court with 1.8 seconds left because the play wasn't called for you. The all-time biggest baby maneuver ever. Selfish in a and you're calling out Jordan as a bad teammate? You seriously have lost your mind. And one last thing. You did help Mike. But by the way, Mike just needed one dude to play with who was any good. It happened to be you. You were phenomenal. Credit to you. But Mike just needed that one dude, and Mike was going to be Mike. You, on the other hand, if you hadn't run into Jordan coming out of Central Arkansas and you went on to some team with a lack of leadership, dude, you might have made an all-star team. You might have made a couple of all-star teams. You would not be sitting there with six damn-ass championship rings and consider the top 50 player of all time and would have made more money on the court. You made more money playing basketball than Jordan did. You have lost your mind on how much that dude helped you in your life. And I don't care if the last dance didn't go the way you were, you big-ass baby. You did have a migraine against the Detroit Pistons because you the stress got to you or whatever the hell happened. You did deserve to get mocked for that. You should laugh about it because it was in your past. But you have no sense of humor about your failures in life, and now you're all bent out of shape that Mike has celebrated himself on his dock. Get the F out of here. And to Jerry Reinsdorf, if you want to take down that banner, I mean, I think that's, you know, hopefully this will get around to it. But, like, in the meantime, like, I'd have a ceremony to start the season lowering that banner until this guy comes to his senses and apologizes. I would roll that 33 down and put it in a corner until he comes correct. That's what I would do with Scottie Pippen. Until you figure it out, not only are we firing you as the ambassador here, we're taking down your damn-ass banner because you called Michael Jordan the greatest player to ever play anything a horrible basketball player. What are you talking about? That's it. I can go home now.
That was a good 30 seconds, folks.
Yeah. If that was 30 seconds, yeah, that was impressive. But it was well said.
A little longer. Very
it was 33 said. Seconds for Scotty.
Dat Dude Tank says, Pip just mad Marcus is sleeping with his ex-wife.
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
So is that a real thing?
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Well, I mean, there's a million pictures of Marcus, you know, out there with...
canoodling.
So...
But this goes back before that. I mean, he's always had a problem.
He just had a huge problem with The Last Dance and how he was portrayed, and then
he portrayed himself,
right?
Yeah,
dude, you did the freaking interviews. You can't do a bad interview and then be mad when the story comes out and you look bad
at your interview. Your interview.
It's not the reporter, director, whatever's fault. Maybe it's just who you are, dude. Just horrible player.
Just stop.
There you go.
Player. Oh, my God. All right. That was a fun show. Tomorrow, Bears have OTAs open to the media. So.
Yes.
Big listen up. Tomorrow. We will not be here at noon tomorrow. We are aiming at a 4 o'clock show. Okay. Could be a little flexible on the time based on how things go at House Hall. Traffic, all that nonsense. But a 4 o'clock show is the plan. We will do exactly what we did last week, which was a lot of fun. Recap everything we see and hear at Hallis Hall throughout the day. And that'll be coming up tomorrow afternoon. Again, hoping for 4 o'clock Central Time. Please hit that like button on the show right here on YouTube. Subscribe, send it off, send the link off to a friend. We'd really appreciate it. Any way you can help spread CHGO, we appreciate the CHGO family. And again, if you're listening to this podcast, please rate and review as well. We're out of here, and we're back tomorrow in the afternoon recapping Bears OTA. Should be a fun day at Hallis Hall. We'll talk to you then.